Open to John chapter 4. The title is prayer. Important part of our life is prayer. And just bring out a couple of scriptures this morning about prayer. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We know these two verses very well, but it doesn't hurt to reread them. So reiterate to everyone here that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, because the hour comes, as Jesus said, that God is looking for a people, that our Father is looking for a people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And even in Romans 8, as you know, it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's how stark it is. And it's so clear here in verse 24, God is a spirit. So if we need to communicate with a spirit, we need the spirit. We can, flesh and flesh can communicate because they're light. Likewise, if we need to communicate with God who's a spirit, we need the spirit. We speak his language, speak it in his language. And so when we have the Spirit and we pray in the Spirit. Furthermore, it says in Isaiah 56, mine house shall be called a house of prayer. Okay, so that's Old Testament scripture, of course, referring to a building. But we are now God's house. His Spirit dwells within us. We are his tabernacle that he's chosen. And we get moulded over time as to how he wants to mould us. So now we are his house of prayer. Okay, so prayer is that important. We are now the house of prayer. We have the Spirit. We can pray to God. We can speak his language through the Spirit. And so in a way, I guess the extension is when we speak in tongues, we speak his language. You know, he understands. Of course, we speak, I'll read out further, that we do speak in our understanding. God loves that, to speak in our understanding also. But prayer in the Spirit is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And down in verse 14, Paul speaking here to the church. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So very clear there, when we pray in tongues, it's our spirit that prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I'll pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing in the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. And Paul says elsewhere that he praises God, that he speaks in tongues more than you all. And Paul was writing to a lot of people, so he prayed in tongues more than all these other people. And so that's how important speaking in tongues is, that prayer language. And because Paul, of course, was caught up into the third heaven, he in the body, out of the body, we cannot tell. And he knew this. He was he had that first-hand revelation of how important the Spirit was to our walk here on earth, but to salvation, because God is a Spirit, and the prayer in tongues is so important. And the reason I started to talk about this is, in our lives, we have very busy lives, and that busyness just has a way of pushing God out of it. And we should always try, whether you can set up a routine or not, but to get time to pray in the Spirit, to spend time talking God's language. Revelation chapter 8 is an aspect that I've brought out before, but it's a very important aspect. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. It says in chapter 5, golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. So this is a description to help us understand what's going on. When we pray to God, It's like this incense wafting up, this spiritual incense that's wafting up before God's spiritual nose, so that it masks the stench of the flesh. It covers the stench of the flesh. So when you think about that, you know, we know the flesh, that we know there's no good thing in us, but when we pray, you know, we pray and these odours go up and it covers that, it helps to cover that stench, that sin. So also, you know, we walk around and, I mean, God knows everything, and it was really quite stark when you knock on doors and you get these responses from different people. And I've got in my mind some responses I've had that have been really quite shocking, you know. And even I remember once I got this reaction, and then I was walking away from the house, and the lady who answered the door relayed it to her husband, and he just, the profanities coming out. And I was just thinking, but what dawned on me then is when we knock on these doors, we see that that shocks us. But just think, God sees everything. God sees the whole lot. God sees their heart. They see what they do in their inner sanctum. He sees all that evil. And so how great before the Lord. You know, we are lights in a dark place. And how the Lord must yearn to have that stench covered with this incense. So we're here, it's not only, it's our own flesh that's covered, we have that that cloak of righteousness, but it also helps, you know, for the Lord to cover the stench, you know, that sin, you know, that is so odorous before the Lord. And and I love how it draws a picture, you know. We pray in tongues, the spiritual incense before the Lord's spiritual nose, you know, to cover that smell. And I think that's why the Lord puts it in the scriptures. This is what happens, and why in the Old Testament times there was the incense continually burning in the old tabernacle. So that's what happens when we pray. When we pray in tongues, when we pray in the Spirit, when we set aside time, that's how important it is for the Lord. Romans chapter 8, here we go. Romans chapter 8. Remarkable chapter is Romans chapter 8. So many things come together in Romans chapter 8. Clarity. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So another great aspect here, we pray in this tongue, groanings which cannot be uttered, and through that it helps our infirmities. It actually helps us, you know, with our weaknesses and things that go wrong in our life. It actually helps. It helps us, as it frankly says there. And we know not what we should pray. You know, how often do we get exasperated? Oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what to pray. You know, I just pray. I'll pray in tongues. Your will. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. You know, like Jehoshaphat, I don't know. But my eyes are upon you. And so the Lord knows what we need, because we know not what to pray. And sometimes that is the case. We're on our knees praying in tongues, but we don't know. We don't know how to articulate it. And so the Lord understands the restrictions that we have, you know, with this this frame. And so he's given us the Spirit to complete it. So it completely articulates to him what we need through the Spirit. Luke chapter 11. So we can certainly, even just that, just praise the Lord that he's given us the Spirit, that we have this thing, you know, where it covers the bases. You know, it covers all the bases. Like I said, our frame is restricted, but through the Spirit, the Lord's given us that. Praise the Lord for that. You know, that it does all the things that our flesh cannot do. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So Emma gave her a testimony for 10 years she was praying for the Holy Spirit. So reflect back when you were praying for the Holy Spirit. You know, you knew how important it was. You knew it was basically life and death, really. You know, you knew how important this Holy Spirit was. And so you just dug in. You dug in persistently, asking, seeking, knocking, persistently asking for this Holy Spirit. And then you got it. So other things as well, you know, we carry this Holy Spirit around and we all need things in our life. So do you still apply that same principle, that same desperation, like you did when you're praying for the Holy Spirit? You've got this thing that you need, just persistent. And of course, Emma is a great motivation. For 10 years she prayed for this. So you consistently pray for this thing that you need. And if you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, you know, the Lord will give good things because we are his children. And a great example there says, our own Father who is evil gives us good things. So why wouldn't our Heavenly Father? So persistent. And I like the aspect as well in verse 9. It says, ask, seek, knock. So sometimes you ask, you pray to the Lord, but then you get out and seek. You know, you be active and you seek. And then you might have to knock. Great example, you know, if you're out of work, you know, you pray to the Lord for work. You pray to him, but then you've got to apply for work. You know, you're out there seeking, doing all these applications over and over and over again. And just keep going. And then you might get an interview and then you just knock away. You present yourself for that job. You know, so sometimes it's not just on your knees praying. Sometimes you get up and you've got to do something, and like with that backing of the Lord. But you do pray. That prayer is important. And when you just keep asking, seeking and knocking with the hope that the Lord will give us good things. Chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint or not give up. You know, just keep at it. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow is a pain, she troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So there's a great example. You know, again, a man who is evil, you know, this unjust judge with continual whining and carrying on before him, he then said, right, get off my back, you know, I'll give what you're asking. So the Lord, you know, with spiritual context, just keep at it. Just keep praying. Don't faint, as it warns there. Don't faint. Just keep at it. And I know full well that it's hard. You know, you do feel like just flaking out and just forgetting about it. You know, you just do. I'm praying for things that just aren't coming to pass. But the scriptures tell us to keep at it, to keep plugging away. And what I like at the end in verse 8, it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, he ties that in with this parable. So shall he find faith on the earth? So the Lord is saying, if we keep hounding him, we have this faith that he will answer, that he will answer if we just keep hounding. So in a way, if we are a pest in this way to the Lord, we're showing our faith. And faith is so important to the Lord, so important. So keep praying, be patient, you know, waiting for the Lord. You know, occasionally you might lose patience and throw things against the wall. But you may do that occasionally, but you're still there. You just get back on your knees and you just pray. You have faith, and because that is faith. You know, God's coming back for the faithful and the overcomers, and that's important. And through praying to him continually, that is showing your faith. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily say I unto you, they have their reward. You know, their reward comes from other people. Wow, they're really holy. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So it's an important aspect there. The Lord lives in all time, so of course he's going to know. He's going to know what we're going to pray for and what we need. So why just carry on? You know, we pray in tongues as much as we can, building up the Spirit, but we don't, in our understanding, there's no need to go on and on, especially in public. Short prayers are good enough, you know, and Jesus himself just said short prayers to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. And the prayer to the Lord, you know, it's in the quiet, you know, the secret things of your heart you can then express to the Lord. And enter your closet. And I can't help but read that, thinking of Rosalind's testimony, who literally went into her closet praying for the Holy Spirit. So you go into your your own little place where people don't know where what you're doing, and you're just praying to the Lord, and he'll reward thee openly. And sometimes it might take a while, do all this praying, and you're wondering, where's my reward openly? We just plug away. You just do it in faith. You keep praying to the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So it's an important aspect. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Just praise. That praise is important. Let your moderation be known unto all men. You know, we're not extreme left, extreme right, extreme actions. We're moderate. You know, we're just... yeah, we're just moderate. So let that all be known unto men without extreme ideas and extreme ways of doing things. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So, that word careful can be interpreted as being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is basically a petition. You know, we're laying the petitions, and also means prayer as well. You know, a petition is just laying your case continually before the Lord through prayer and supplication, and then with thanksgiving. Good practical stuff on how to pray to the Lord with rejoicing. Through our testimony, it's all through moderation, known unto all men, then prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. And that's it's a good formula. It's in the scriptures here. It's a simple formula, and that's how we pray to the Lord. And as a result, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And that's remarkable. You know, that's what people just pine for, is peace. And we don't like a tumultuous life. We pine for peace. And the Lord will grant that. You know, it's a promise of his. When it comes, it's through faith. We just keep praying for that peace. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, which is what Jesus does for us, as I read before, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour. Okay, so there's the other aspect of prayer. We pray for those, you know, the Prime Minister, the Premier. We pray for the Mayor. We pray for these people that are in authority, because they are the ones that, as we read elsewhere, they've been chosen by God as his vessels. So if we pray for them, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. You know, in the flesh, we may have peace. We may be able to go about our business without having trouble. And then verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Turns out it's good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord to pray for those that are in authority, to pray for them. So it's another aspect of prayer that the Lord likes. You know, we're going through a couple of aspects of that that the Lord likes. And that's how important prayer is, to pray for these people. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always. So again there, we're reading out praying always. Do it as much as you can with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, you pray for others as well as we do. It's important. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I brought this out before, that Paul was incredible. And he's like, as an outreach, as a minister, and he was still asking the churches to pray for him, to help him. And so I've said this before, and I know some people do. When we're out and about outreaching, people set aside that time to pray for the people doing the outreach, because that's important as well. And I know some of you do, which is great, you know, because then you're part of it. You're part of the action. You know, we're all part of the body of Christ. And there's boots on ground that are doing that, but we also need, you know, the prayer, you know, the backup, you know, through the Spirit. And for whatever reason, if you can't make it, just pray. You know, you're just praying for the work of the Lord. And that's important, because we're all here as a team, as a collective, to do the work of the Lord, to see more come, to the kingdom of God, and to know all about what the salvation message, and how we just love it when we get people, a visitor here, and even just a visitor, but even more, someone who gets baptized and receives the Spirit and walks on in Spirit and truth. So if we all get together and we do that, you've got the boots on ground, but in the background, you've got people praying. That prayer is so important. The Lord listens. The Lord takes heed. And yeah, sometimes we get weary, like yesterday. I wanted Gabriel to do all the talking, which I'm sure he would have found hard, but he did very well. I just wanted to carry the be the armor bearer, you know, just stand there and just have a nice quiet time while Gabriel did all the talking, and it was great. It was fantastic, you know. He had a great chat to someone, two good chats actually, and it was just really good to see, you know, and I know, because Gabriel expressed this, that he wouldn't have been able to do it like that without the armor bearer, you know. And I was just telling him, reflecting on when, like, I used to do most of my door knocking by myself, but then remember Samuel, the Nigerian bloke, he decided to come along once, and just having him there just to talk to between door knocking just changed the whole outlook on life. But then behind that, you've got the people praying as well. And that day, we had 5 people worth following up. You know, we spoke to many others, but it was just remarkable change just because of that armor bearer. And with the prayer as well, it all goes together. It's all a team effort for that same end. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. So toward the end of the book of Job, Job chapter 42, prior to this chapter, there's about 25 chapters of Job dilly-dallying and woe upon woes, and I'm a good person, why is this happening to me? And his friends are very supportive of him, as we know. And they're terrible, actually, throwing rocks at him. And then we come to a point where this chap Elihu stands up and says he got quite annoyed with all this to-ing and fro-ing. And so Elihu, for 6 chapters, the Lord used Elihu to explain to Job. So that was 6 chapters. And then after that, there was another 4 chapters that God spoke direct to Job, you know, slapped him across the face. And so here we come to the last chapter of Job, chapter 42 and verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, so after all this, he was humbled and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I'll speak. I'll demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. So he's humbled before the Lord. I mean, who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be humbled before the Lord? You know, compared to the Lord, Job here abhors himself and repents in dust and ashes, you know, his self-righteousness. But then jump over to verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave him Job twice as much as he had before. So yet another aspect of prayer. You pray for your friends. As Jesus himself said, you pray for those who despitefully use you. You know, you pray for those. Because when Job did this, it changed. You know, the Lord blessed him with twice as much as he had before. So that prayer is so important. And that's difficult as well. For 25 odd chapters, Job has been hounded by these three people. And then I'm not sure how difficult it was for Job, but the Lord asked him to pray for them. You know, pray for them. And then when Job did that, he was blessed. So us also, we pray for others. We pray for our friends, you know, in the assembly, those that despitefully use us. We just pray. And that also, when you think about it, is an avenue that shows your faith. You know, in all faith, you know that when you're praying for these people, you know, that the Lord has it all in hand and that he'll deal with it, not yourself. And so that is important. Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55. Now, if you are curious as to when you should pray, Psalm chapter 55. Psalm 55, this is David speaking or writing, singing. Psalm 55 and verse 16. As for me, I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So that's the advice from the scriptures. Pray in the morning, the noon, and in the evening. It's a lot. I remember I had a job where I could go home, so I used to get 10 minutes of prayer at lunch. But there's no way I now pray in the morning, evening, and noon. Maybe when I'm driving around, perhaps. But it's what we aim for. You know, you just always pray whenever you can. Whenever you can, set aside that time to pray. That's what the Lord likes. And David knew this. That's why he wrote it down. And he knew that if you keep praying, Daniel as well, he kept praying despite that edict from the king saying that he wasn't meant to. He still did it through faith because he knew the Lord would turn it around for him. And likewise us, you know, we pray continually as much as we can to the Lord in faith, knowing that he'll turn things around. Okay, last scripture ended up. I could have had that other testimony after all. First Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a bit of reading here. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. That's it. Pray without ceasing. If ever there's clarity there, just keep praying. Keep at it. Keep praying in tongues. We've read scriptures as to what happens when we're praying in tongues. We build up ourselves in the most holy faith, as it says in Jude, which is also another aspect. Actually, we'll turn there, seeing as we've got time. Jude, verse 20. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Pray always. Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So there you go. You get that spiritual tucker. You feed yourself. You build up that strength, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's what happens. So we've got that aspect. Get that strength. Strong characters for the Lord, you know, individuals for the Lord. And when we're praying in the Spirit, we've got the incense that's covering the stench of the flesh, the stench of sin. We're praying for others, praying that the Lord may bless others in their life. We pray in our closet, you know, where the Lord sees in secret, but he'll bless openly, you know, and in public. We don't pray long prayers. You know, we pray in public. We know that. There's time when we do pray in public. But let it be succinct. Let it be straight to the point. The Lord knows beforehand. So why go on and on? You know, and you just pray this thing. Pray in this spiritual language, which the Lord has graciously given us, with thanksgiving and all supplications. You know, throwing the petitions continually at it. You know, don't get weary. I know it's hard, you know, we are in the flesh and flesh gets weary, but keep at it. You know, just I find it helpful if you just got it in the back of your mind. You know, the Lord says, just keep at it. Oh, okay, I'll just keep at it. You know, it's difficult, but that's what the Lord says. I'll just keep at it. And you ask and you seek and you knock. You know, you be a pest. You know, you just keep hounding the Lord, because that is an expression of your faith. Okay. Thank you. I'll hand over to Lawrence, who's got the communion.